Hello and welcome to StrangeCast episode 14.
Never go to sleep on an argument.
It's a good day today, despite the subject matter, believe it or not. This is the first episode that you can actually follow in Apple Podcasts, so you can actually search for StrangeCast in Apple Podcasts and listen to us there. I'm hoping to bring it to Spotify as well. I'm working on it, but Spotify is being a bit recalcitrant, so I'm arguing with it, but not my wife. I'm Andre.
And I'm Kirsten.
And I've forgotten to do that in some of the recent episodes, but hopefully we'll bring in some new people. So yeah, we're a husband and wife team from London, and we love each other deeply and have done for 17 years.
Yes.
Amazing. So what is this and how is this arguing thing done properly?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you. Yes. I'm not asking them because they can't answer yet. We haven't got interactive podcasts down to a fine art.
I don't know. It just would be interesting, I thought, for us to compare maybe how we deal with arguments, conflicts, disagreements, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Versus how we did
years ago.
Yeah.
When we were babies.
Early stage of our relationship and how it's changed when we've been at different points, you know.
Definitely.
Before kids, during the baby stage.
It was hard then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was harder with the first one, more than the second one, because we were a bit older and wiser and a bit more veteranomic. There's a new word of the day for you. We were veterans at it.
Well, if we start before...
Yeah.
What do you think it was like before? What can you remember? Because I can't remember that much.
Memory's a funny thing. I think it blocks out really pointless stuff. Yeah. And arguing is pointless because 9 times out of 10, the reason you argue is for such a silly reason that it doesn't matter anyway, like 5 minutes after you've done it. And you're just like, what was that for? So thinking back, I don't know.
We weren't really together for that long before Jake came.
No.
So, I mean, it was less than 2 years. So, you know. I kind of think if you're arguing a lot in the very early stages of a relationship, maybe that's not so great.
And we weren't.
No, not at all. So we had that time together. Then it was, you know, planning the wedding, preparing for a baby. And then he came. So there wasn't really anything to particularly argue about.
No.
It's only when your entire world... completely changes.
Then it became a different
then
thing.
It was very different. Yeah. And we did struggle then, didn't we?
And I don't think we talked to each other as we should have.
Because we were still so young. I was 23.
Yeah.
And you were 26. We hadn't been together that long, really.
Right. And for the parents listening, I don't mean that we were abusive, nothing like that. But I mean that we didn't use our words. We just huffed around the house at each other.
We just didn't communicate because we didn't know how to, and we were navigating trying to understand how things, the dynamic within our relationship had changed now that we had
a small one,
a baby. And you're doing all of that also on no sleep because he did not sleep. We have not been blessed with babies that sleep, and that really messes up everything anyway. And I think looking back at it now, you struggled with suddenly everything that I did revolved around him. And I don't want to make that sound, you know, oh my God, you're jealous of a baby. But I know that you struggled that we didn't have any time for each other. And
because we couldn't.
Because we couldn't, absolutely. And I struggled because I had to do everything because it was difficult for, you know, it would have been very difficult for you to look after him. I mean, I was in the, you know, first couple of months I was breastfeeding, so you couldn't have helped with any of that.
Yeah,
we've already talked about,
you know.
No, we've already talked about the nappies and that side of things. And,
you know,
it was,
we were both tired of being tired.
Oh, so tired.
And that's a good throwback.
And you've got all the, you know, the hormones and the craziness, and you were at home a lot, all the time.
There was nowhere to go and nothing to do.
Yeah, we had that, you know, it was a lovely flat, but it was small and it was really hard just being together all the time.
I remember we went out for a walk and it was probably quieter on the walk than it was in the house because we said nothing. Even though we were out together, supposing to have a nice time, it didn't happen. Do you remember that walk?
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was just pushing Jake in a buggy, saying nothing. Yeah. And yeah, we just needed to do better, really.
We just needed to have a bit of space and, you know, talk a bit. I don't mean that space from like our relationship. I just mean, you know, we were all of us just stuck in that little flat.
And it was a one-room flat.
In the winter, because he was born at the end of September. So we were going into the winter and it was just, it was a hard time.
Yeah.
But we got through that. And that
got through many more things.
Absolutely. But that was probably the hardest time, I think.
Yeah, which segues nicely onto, had Channel 4 approached us then instead of much later, they might have found us more interesting.
Maybe. Maybe.
What am I talking about?
That was a documentary based in Brent, which is where we live, called How to Make a Marriage Work.
Yep, How to Make Your Marriage Work.
How to Make Your Marriage Work. And it's really strange, actually, because they had a, there was a guy outside the primary school that our kids used to go to who was asking people if they wanted to be involved and sort of talking about it. And my very British social anxiety of not being able to, well, I'm better at it now, but not being able to say no when someone approaches you in the street to tell you about something, I listened and was like, oh, okay. And sort of listened to what he had to say. And he gave me a leaflet and everything. And then I spoke to you and you were so excited about it. And then, yeah, it kind of went from there, didn't it? We contacted them. We had a few emails backwards and forwards and they came to meet with us.
They did at first.
And
it wasn't the filming day. It was just a meeting at first.
No. They came to meet with us. It was that lovely lady. I can't remember what her name was, but she was really nice.
I can't remember any of those people.
No, I have no recollection. I mean, this was, what, how many years ago? Seven? Eight?
It would be seven.
7 years ago.
Because it was 2017.
And yeah, they just wanted to interview, talk to couples, married couples, in Brent, because I think it was something about the divorce rate is so high in this borough, like the highest, I think.
Is it the highest or was it the lowest?
No, it was high.
Is it?
I'm sure it was.
I don't remember, you know. I thought it was low and that's why people wanted to know how we...
No, Brenties, I thought it was high
together.
And it was about, you know,
well, in
what
that
you
case,
can do to change
yeah.
it. But maybe I've here. Got that wrong. That's what I remember. My memory is shocking, so I could have got that wrong. But that's what I
And it would be hard now to search it because it's so old. There'll be nothing left online about it.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you quickly grab your phone and have a look. But yeah, it was an interesting documentary. They filmed it. We had to turn the whole room around.
We did. That drove me mad.
She
hated
that.
Had to move
that.
All of your stuff and turn the sofa around and all sorts of things because they didn't want to see certain things behind.
Nope.
And
this room
screen.
Has a lot of equipment in it.
Yeah, it does. And take all the pictures down and anything that could be...
conceived as branding.
Yeah, a brand, a label. We had to be really careful what we wore, all sorts of things. But we did it and it was quite fun.
It was quite
we
fun.
We spent the day, they came and...
They did.
Did lots of filming, asked us lots and lots of questions about our marriage.
Life, the universe and marriage.
Yeah. And we thought, you know, they seemed really pleased with everything that we did and said, and it all seemed really positive. And we watched the program when it came out, and
I
think there was
barely.
How many couples? Four, five?
Three or four, I think. Possibly
yeah.
five. I don't remember. It's been a long time, hasn't it?
There was definitely more than three. Maybe three others. I don't know. But yeah, we were in it, I think, a total of like 4 minutes in an hour program.
It was short.
Yeah, I think because in the big picture of it, we were so boring compared to the...
Conventional.
Yeah, okay, conventional is a nicer way of saying it, isn't it? But we don't have dramatic lives. We're not dramatic people. You know, we don't like... or not to say that people like the arguing and stuff like that, but
They like the drama about it.
They like the drama.
There was a guy that was just quite clearly an obvious cheater. And you know, she was just like, oh, I take him back every time because why not? It kind of essentially boiled down to that.
Yeah, they just, the other couples that they had chosen had bigger things, I suppose, that had happened and impacted. And maybe they put us in because we were just a more average. Maybe. I don't know, maybe the average, maybe the normal is to have that kind of drama. I don't know. But maybe they put us in just to kind of level it out a little bit.
Yeah, that might be it.
I don't know. But yeah, we were barely in it really for all the hours that we filmed.
I think we got, because I had a friend put a montage together, which for those outside of the UK is linked in the show notes or in the YouTube description if you're watching on YouTube. You can't watch it in the UK because Channel 4 blocked it. But you can watch it outside the UK, so you'll find that linked. I think that our montage is about 6 minutes of an hour-long program.
Yeah.
That's it. Amazing.
Yeah. But, you know, it was an experience.
It was an experience. But that was 8 years into our relationship? No, well, 10-ish, I suppose, because it was 2017, so coming up for 10 years at that point.
Yeah.
And we had kind of gotten better about talking to each other.
By that point we'd had both of the kids.
Yep.
When Alice came along, we were more experienced parents, so we knew what to expect. We knew how to sort of try and put things in place to prevent us from being in the same position. We also had a bigger place. We had a two-bedroomed flat instead. You know, Jake had nursery, so I was out more, you know, taking him out or going to the park or whatever. So life was just a bit different.
It did help, didn't it?
It did help.
The two bedrooms really, really made a massive difference.
Yeah, I mean, we probably did still argue a fair bit. Well, you know, on and off, you have those arguments, don't you? Again, because we were so sleep deprived. Yeah. Because again, we had a baby that didn't sleep.
You know what, though? I was thinking about this, actually, and it was just as hard when we were confined again together on the cruise in 2019.
Yep.
That was super difficult. And it wasn't, it was just, again, it was a space issue. You lived together in a cabin, and we didn't go with anybody else. So you had to do everything with the same person, and that was difficult.
Yeah, I do agree with you, but I know for myself, the issue that I had for the cruise was my anxiety. So when we went, it was the first holiday that we did just the two of us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like abroad.
That's right.
And I felt this immense pressure to get everything right, to, you know, be the eyes for both of us and make sure that we were in the right place at the right time. You know, you're getting on and off of the ship, you're being checked, you've got passports, you're in foreign countries, you're doing all these different things. And my anxiety was just through the roof for that. And I think at that stage, we weren't really talking about my anxiety.
No.
It was still, I was very much in a...
You were quite in a denial stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And...
I didn't know. Because as a husband, one should be a mind reader. You can only read so much.
No. And, you know, we've talked about it before and we don't need to talk about it too much in this episode. But as I said, I've had the anxiety since I was little. So I've been incredibly good and have learned how to hide it or, you know, disguise it in other ways. So... that's nothing against you to say, well, why didn't you realize? Well, why should you? You know, I was so good at sort of hiding it for other things. But then it does come out because, you know, maybe I'm a bit snippy. Maybe you're a bit snippy back. And then I'm upset because I'm thinking, well, why don't you understand why I'm upset? And, it just kind of goes around. And yeah, the cruise wasn't our...
I regret
best
nothing, right?
Time. No, we had a fantastic time, but there were moments when we did argue.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a bit sad, but we still had a great time and it was a great experience. And we learned from it.
We did.
So I feel like the majority of the arguments that we have had, we've learnt something. Obviously, you bicker little silly things, but that's just it's nothing. Kind
of, you've got to treat a big argument like the morals at the end of South Park.
Absolutely. Even if it takes you a day or two and then you come back and think, well, actually, they were right. I didn't want to say it in that moment.
It's a pride thing as well.
Yeah.
It's a stubbornness. And we're both very stubborn people.
We are stubborn.
And giving in is hard sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But we've got so much better at being able to read each other.
Yeah.
And I would say in the last year, especially now that you're much more aware of how I feel and how I deal with things and what goes on in my head, there is that ability for you to sort of stand back and go, right, that's what's going on.
But also, you talk more.
I do.
And if you tell me something or say, right, today is one of those days.
Yes.
That can change the narrative.
Yep. So it goes back to the communication.
Communication is key. And a lot of people and a lot of couples do this wrong. And I know that because we've seen it. I grew up around a lot of that. And maybe you did too. And basically you just become passive aggressive, which just turns into aggressive at some points. And you don't need that. No. And we don't ever argue in front of the children. No matter what.
No, not proper arguments. Rule. You might have a bit of a huff under your breath or something. But no, we don't ever have big arguments in front of them. I mean, to be fair, we don't have big arguments.
No, we don't.
Over the years, we could probably count how many, you know, big arguments. But they've always been saved for when the kids are out of the house. We don't ever have in front of them, because neither of us are keen on that. It's just not something that I think they need to see. I do think that they need to know that you do argue and that you resolve things, because they need to understand that that's what happens in relationships.
And hashing stuff out is okay.
Absolutely. And disagreeing and having a difference in opinion, but still respecting that the other person. So being able to say, look, you see it that way and I don't agree with you, but that's fine. And I think I can hear the gate.
Is the doorbell about to ring?
Possibly.
That's fine. But what I would say you told me, and I didn't know this or remember this, that we didn't argue once during lockdown. Which
no,
is
we
amazing.
Didn't. We did not argue once in probably the most...
Okay. There's the doorbell.
I will be back.
She'll be back in the middle of a sentence. But it so happens, apparently, and I didn't know this or remember this, that we did not argue during lockdown, which is quite clever. And despite everybody being in the same space at the same time, because we had a nice big two-bedroom house and it was upstairs, downstairs, and we had a garden, it meant that everybody, all four of us, can actually be in different spaces pretty much even now, even though the kids are, you know, more grown than they were 4 years ago. Basically, everybody can be in their own world, doing their own thing. And that means that if you want space in this house, you can pretty much achieve it, I would say. Are you back?
I'm back.
Oh, great.
I'm here. You don't have to fill the gap.
Oh, nice. You were going to say something, if you can remember what it was.
Or covering maybe lockdown.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was saying that basically, why did I say that twice? We have our own space. We managed to find a way to make space. Everybody
we did.
Had
I think
area.
It was... Oh, do you know, all I really remember about lockdown was trying to recover, because I got COVID the weekend before we went into lockdown. So that wasn't fun. And homeschool.
Oh, homeschool.
And realistically, that would have been prime time for us to have been...
At our worst.
Yeah, but I think the uncertainty... of all of it and not knowing what was going on, and it actually just made us all feel really grateful that we were okay.
Yep.
And the fear of, well, we don't know what's going to happen, so we did just kind of suck it up and
make it work.
I'm not really sure how, because it was very stressful homeschooling, you know.
It was
Oh, gosh.
Got through it, though.
We did. We did get through it, and we survived.
And we were quite fortunate in that we had a bunch of computers in the house, so each child could use a something and get stuff done.
Yeah.
Instead of having to, you know, go outside and get pens and paper and whatever else. So we made it work.
We did.
But in terms of ourselves, we were fine.
Yeah.
I think every day was like another day to be grateful to be alive somehow.
Yeah, I think, I honestly think maybe I've blocked some of it out. Just because the homeschool was so awful.
Well, I think a lot of people I've spoken to felt like that it was like a video game that you put on pause and you came back to afterwards. And so a lot of that time is just completely missing from the public consciousness.
Yeah.
I can't tell you anything about much of that period. Other than my evenings were filled with gallivanting around the world online.
Yeah.
I played a lot of music on Jamulus, and I would remember I'd come off and say, I just played, you know, with some people in Taiwan. I've just been to Germany. I've just been to the US or Argentina. And I would tell you all these fun places I'd been to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It kept me sane.
Yeah.
Because I remember there was a point I didn't leave the house for about 90 days.
Yes. Well, the first month, the kids and I didn't either, which is...
No.
We didn't even go for a walk because we were just too terrified.
There was that, but also when you were able to leave the house and go back to doing the school run, you could only have one parent on the school run.
Oh, once they went back to school, yes.
And I was still here.
Yeah.
And I had not left. I became one with the furniture.
Indeed.
But yeah, I think those are the hardest times we've had was Jake and not enough sleep and Cruz and not enough space. But we still had fun, like, The stuff we saw and the food. I said it. I thought I'd go an entire episode with it. I'm not.
Always the food.
Nah.
Always.
It's the way it is. But we ate a lot.
But again, when you look back at those times, it is always the communication.
Yeah, that's...
If we just talked a bit more.
Yeah.
But that's hindsight, isn't it? When you're so wound up in those moments, you're not thinking, I just need to talk to them.
Because that's the last thing you actually want to do.
Exactly.
Is to talk to them.
Exactly.
But that's one of those things that if, as a couple, you can solve, you're in good hands with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we definitely learned from that. When we got back, we kind of discussed it at the time, I remember.
We did.
And we said that talking is helpful.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And even on the cruise, we did never go to sleep on an argument. We'd always talk it out before bed. Because the next day is like a reset. You've got to treat the next day like a reset. Whatever happened the day before, and grudges don't really help. We don't try to hold, at least I don't think so. I don't think we hold grudges.
No. Not towards each other.
Don't bring up those things that happened, you know, back then.
No. Well, no. I mean, you don't. I think sometimes... it's like when you were saying about when you argue about really silly things.
Yeah.
Usually when you're arguing about something really, really minute, it's because there's something else going on. And that just happens to be the catalyst for the argument.
Yeah.
So sometimes you do have to go back, but only in that point of saying, look, this happened and this has sat with me and I just need to get it out. So I think that's something else that we've learned, that not to say that, you know, we tell each other every tiny little thing that annoys, to be fair, I don't think we're particularly annoying people in terms of living together.
Depends who you ask.
Well, I mean, just the two of us. Oh my goodness.
It's another doorbell day.
Oh, it's a...
And it's one of those where the person has rung the doorbell twice in quick succession. Don't know why they do that. But yeah, she's right. We don't tend to, I don't know what the word is, gripe at each other. Because griping doesn't solve anything. It just makes it worse, actually, if you do that. Oh, more things.
That would be my new Hoover.
I thought that was the other one.
No, that was a gift.
Ah. Oh.
That one just now was the Hoover.
Yeah, we ordered a new Hoover over the weekend.
We did.
Because the other one is causing us to be annoyed with it and argue with it.
It's causing drama.
It's not, it doesn't suck.
We don't
suck.
Need no drama in this house.
It doesn't suck. And it's supposed to suck. I mean, your whole job, you had one job, is to suck. Yeah. You're not sucking enough.
Exactly.
So we're getting rid of it. It's leaving the house. It's been evicted.
It's been replaced.
And after this episode, she'll probably open that and I'll have a mess with it and do the editing. And I'm quite excited about that. This is a sign of the times, you know. As an adult, you get excited about household goods.
Yeah.
Like when we got the dishwasher and whatever
else.
The washing machine. Oh my God. The washing machine was amazing.
Yeah. I still love that washing machine.
So do I.
Yeah.
I think we bought it while I was away this year. Like, here's a washing machine. Oh, I was mad. But yeah, we're going to play with new household toys. This is the kind of fun we have now as adults. It's sad, isn't it? Great.
Yeah, but at least we enjoy it together.
That's true, actually. Yeah. That is true. Well, there we are. We'll end with the washing machine. The washing machine's beeping and humming itself to in the kitchen. It's just finished. But I think the moral of the story, and it goes back to the whole title of the episode, is just never sleep on an argument. If you're arguing with your partner, your friend, whatever, try and solve it before the day is done. Because if you don't, you will be steaming in the night, thinking up of retorts.
Exactly. And no one sleeps. Then you don't sleep and things just escalate. They get worse. You feel worse in the morning. And
you toss and turn and you could have actually just talked and you didn't. You both tossed and turned and you both huffed, right? Passive aggressively.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Lies. You both know you're doing it and it just makes it so much worse.
Yeah. Just get it out.
Exactly. And with that, we'll leave you with these thoughts and hopefully make you laugh a little bit. On a serious note, just treat each other nicely. Yeah. You're valuable, you matter, and we appreciate you for listening. So thank you, as always.
Bye.
Where's your bye?
Oh, bye. Well, you ended it so nicely. I thought I would just leave it.
No, we have to end with your bye for the music.
Okay. Bye.